Truly good to be with you on this Father's Day weekend. I've been away. Some of you may have noticed. I haven't had this Mass in 5 weeks. I've missed you. I won't ask if you've missed me. I'll just presume. So I've spared you then probably 5 weeks of bad jokes. Well, not today. Father's Day deserves some levity, because we know you dads work hard, and we love you. So, a Father's Day card read, being a father can be expensive, time-consuming, frustrating, confusing, and emotionally draining. Actually, it's a lot like golf. While flying from Denver to Kansas City, Kansas, my mother was sitting across the aisle from a woman and her 8-year-old son. Mom couldn't help laughing as they neared their destination, and she heard the mother say to the boy, now remember, run to dad first, then to the dog. That one hits home. Remember how sons think so highly of their dads that they can do anything. An army brat was boasting about his father to a navy brat. The army brat said, my dad is an engineer. He can do anything. Have you ever heard of the Alps? Yes, said the navy brat. My dad built them. And the naval brat spoke, and have you ever heard of the Dead Sea? My dad killed it. You dads can. We believe you can do just about anything. And there's something beautiful in this, and this is on a more serious note. The role of the father. There's a story about a father and a son, a teenage boy named Paco in Spain. And his very wealthy father had a tragic falling out, and the young man decided to run away from home. The father was crushed to his core. After a few days, he realized that the boy was serious about running away, and the father set out to find him. He searched high and low for 5 months, sparing no expense, yet to no avail. Finally, in a last-ditch effort, absolutely desperate, he attempted to find his son by putting an ad in the Madrid newspaper. The ad read, dear Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. I love you. Signed, your father. On Tuesday, over 800 Pacos showed up at the hotel, looking for love and forgiveness from their dads. What an ad that was. Over 800 Pacos showed up just to be reconciled with dad. The ministry of mercy, fathers, is a reflection of what God the Father has done for us. The ministry of mercy. Is that not what motivated Jesus in the gospel? Is that not what he came to do? It is the thing he came to do. I've come to reconcile you to the Father. And if you know me, then you know the Father. It's what we do here at the Mass. The great act of reconciliation, and this word is fun, from the Latin word cilia, which means eyelash to eyelash. So in close proximity, in this tender embrace of mercy, Jesus said, I came to turn you back to the Father. Because the Father has never left you, right? The prodigal son, you left him. And I'm bringing you back. You're the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the deepest desire in the heart of Jesus is for us to be reconciled eyelash to eyelash with our loving Father and to receive an abundance of his love and to live in that identity. Beloved sons and daughters, no limits to his mercy whatsoever. To rest in that, and that is what moved the heart of Jesus. And we say his heart was moved with pity for those who were troubled and abandoned. They were lonely. They were hurting. They were caught in sin, despair, you name it, all the stuff of the world. And Jesus' heart was moved from his very core. My favorite Greek word, I hope by the end of my time here at the cathedral, everybody knows this. Sphagnitomai. Fun word. spagnitsomai, to be moved from the very core, not just, ooh, nice heartfelt thought, sentimentality. No, he couldn't help but be drawn to them. He said, you're like sheep without a shepherd. You need the Father's love. You need to be reestablished in your identity of who you are. Valued beyond measure. No matter what. No matter what. And Jesus' heart moved. And then there's this somewhat tragic line, isn't it? The harvest is abundant, he says. The laborers are few. The harvest is abundant, Jesus says. Who's going out to bring them my love? Because his love is the outpouring of the Father's love through the Spirit. It's going to happen. It must. Then he called his apostles, and we know the rest of the story. But it's now our story. It's not a history book. I was just recently with our youth in Denver. And on the first night, we were desperate for food. And so, not knowing the area, I just looked up pizza nearby and happened to be a little brewery. And I called and I said, can you have miners come? And he said, yeah. Do you have pizza? Yeah. Okay, good. Well, we walked in, and to my dismay, but we were running out of time, there was, let's just say, there was a lot more dark stuff than light stuff. There's a little more hell than heaven. And these poor kids are looking at me. What have you done, Father? Where are we? The gates of hell? They have pizza. That'll do, right? Well, I just endured it because we needed to eat and get moving. And while we were there, two things happened. A group of individuals to whom Jesus' heart moves like it moves to us, called us out, yelled at us, Father Jake and me and our callers. Said, don't you know Christianity is a joke? Oh, you just read history. And was yelling at us from a table away. We didn't engage it, but the kids were seriously impacted by it. And we later told them, maybe God sent that person or us there so we could pray and experience the love that Jesus has toward this person who was, let's just say, taken by the things of the day. And we prayed for him and the others. But we were impacted. We were not welcomed. Not by what we said or did, just by who we were. But on another turn, this gentleman with a long beard struck up a conversation with me as I was ordering. And he said, I see you got these kids. They seem so joyful. What are you doing here? I said, we're here to serve God's poor, missionaries of charity, Christ in the city, a number of other things. He said, that's really amazing. He said, I'd like to help. Will you have any time to come back later this week? I said, better believe it. Have a beer ready for me. And he did. And an envelope with $100. He said, I want to pay for your gas. Ended up being that Harry was the owner. I thought he was just a patron. But the owner of that place was somehow touched by our presence. And we didn't belong there. But yet, we're praying for those people. Harry, now I have his email address. We did nothing, showed up, put a smile on, and encountered those to whom Jesus desires to be with. This is our call. This is our call. I think we do a good job here at the cathedral and in this community of being nourished. We've got a lot of things that come nourish you with, this group, that group, okay? We got to gear up for going out. And it may be into a beer pub like that, to be yelled at, but to be a light in darkness. Why? Because Jesus said, without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. So if we're not giving, it may be because we've forgotten that we've received. So if our hearts are not fueled with the mission, to be a light in the darkness, to take the mercy of the Father into the streets like we did with the Missionaries of Charity. Maybe we don't need to go to Denver to find the poor, although they live in tents throughout the city. It's right here. Mother Teresa famously said, you don't have to come to Calcutta. Find your Calcutta at home and be a light in the darkness. And it's not rocket science. Without cost, you have received. Without cost, you are to give. There's the motivation. There's the why. What do? Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse lepers. Drive out demons. That's real. That's the command of Jesus. And if he said we're supposed to do it, then he's going to give us the power to do it. If we believe that he is that powerful and can use broken instruments like us to raise the dead, like St. Peter did, broken instrument, raised somebody from the dead. What are we to say? Make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. Not, we're going to hell in a handbasket. That doesn't inspire anyone. The kingdom is at hand? Okay, I'll play for that team. Not that we're down and out and we're going to lose. Sorry, I'm not interested. The kingdom is at hand. We win. We win. The most extraordinary comeback of all history. Jesus. We win. Our job to receive, to be grounded in that, to fuel the giving, to heal, to cast out demons, to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead, and simply to share with the world that the kingdom is at hand. That's what Jesus asks of us. And if he's asked us, then he will give us all that we need to do it. Here at the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit, I'm looking for 12 people by the end of this calendar year to sign on to become missionary disciples in a crazy way. Question is this, do you have the time? It takes time, I know, and it's at a premium. Do you have the desire? I'm looking for 12 people to join me, and we're going to see what he wants to do. Pray about it. Pray that the Lord will show me those 12 like he had his own 12, and we'll see what happens. We need 12, and we'll build from there.